the Lord is mobilizing a generation for the Great Commission unto the salvation of Israel this Saturday in Kansas City, Missouri. I'm going to be talking to my friend Kyle Mytholer from the International House of Prayer in Kansas City about some of the prophetic history behind it and what we're believing for. I want to apologize in advance for the slight distortion of my voice in the interview, but we have a great and powerful and exciting episode for you right here on Till Zion Sings.
Welcome to Till Zion Sings, a show where we proclaim the next wave of God's glory coming to the earth and connect with God's heart for Israel. This is a place where you'll find encouragement and strengthening and hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the nations and to you. From the northeast of Scotland, here is your host, Frank Sway.
Well, folks, we don't normally put out an episode in the middle of the week, but this is, I believe, an important update, an important episode. And we can call it a special episode, if you like, because something very significant is happening in Kansas City, Missouri, leading up to this Saturday when the Send in Arrowhead Stadium will happen. Now, when we first revamped the show, we said that this show would be proclaiming the next wave of God's glory coming to the earth and also connect with his heart for Israel. Now, when he moves, we want to ride on the waves of what he is doing, and he is not conformed to our structure, our schedule. So we've not actually put out an episode for a good few weeks now, as we've seen. We've been focusing on what the Lord's been saying about Zelensky and Passover and all that, and we were supposed to go through Leviticus following the Torah portion schedule in the synagogues, and we're about 15 chapters behind, but we're going to catch up on all that some other time. But in this episode, I really want to bring to you the latest of what's been happening in America. The Lord is doing something very significant that pertains this whole generation, and it pertains Israel also. And I have no one better to report to you on this than my good friend Kyle Mytholer from the International House of Prayer in Kansas City. So, Kyle, welcome to the show.
Yeah, thank you, Frank. It's good to be with you.
All right. So, tell us, Kyle, as of this moment, what is happening in Kansas City on President Truman's property?
Oh, wonderful. No, there's a lot happening, and I do apologize for the green screen behind me. I didn't change it out here. So. Uh-huh. But no, there's a lot happening here at the International House of Prayer in coordination with a ministry called Awaken the Dawn and another ministry called The Send. Mm. And like you said, this Saturday, The Send is going to be happening. But this ministry out of, I want to say they're in Virginia, called Awaken the Dawn, approached our ministry and said, we want to host a 24-hour prayer on the Truman property. Wow. And that's the property we've had here at the International House of Prayer for over a decade that's just been sitting there kind of dormant. Wow. But it was literally purchased from the people that bought it from President Harry Truman 50 years to the day later. Wow. And right now there's about 5,000 people converging on the property to offer up 24-hour worship and prayer and put a stake in the ground for prayer for the salvation of Israel. And so there's a lot happening, and I could go into any more of those details. So yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's incredible. Well, let's first go back a bit, back to 1983, I believe. Now, very strange prophetic man, Bob Jones, walked into Mike's office, and Mike didn't know that was a true prophet of the Lord. So let's go back to that day. What happened? What did the Lord say?
Yeah, so on March the 7th, 1983, Mike Bickle, a 27-year-old pastor, had just moved into town. He grew up in Kansas City, but had spent 7 years in St. Louis, Missouri, on the other side of the state. Mm. And he comes back to Kansas City, plants a church, and a few months into the church plant, this older gentleman from the hills of Arkansas named Bob Jones, with this deep southern accent, howdy, y'all. He comes into his office and begins to tell young Pastor Mike Bickle, 27 years old, about over 100 dreams and visions and revelations of, to Mike, seemingly random things.
Yeah.
And some of the things he said, he's wearing this coat, this winter coat, and it's like 60, 70 degrees outside in early March.
Wow.
And Bob, Mike just thinks Bob is this wacko person. It doesn't have any grid for him to be a prophet of God.
Mm.
And so Bob begins to tell him about young people are going to come from all around the world. He talks about, you're going to be on Harry S. Truman's property. And Mike's like, what does Harry S. Truman, former president, have to do with any of this? He says, yeah, well, he used to live in Grandview. And his old farm and his old property is in Grandview, Missouri. And Mike's like, great. So what? What does that have to do with anything?
Right.
And Mike and Bob says, well, it has everything to do with the future of this movement. Mm. And he says, just as the Lord raised up Harry S. Truman as a political intercessor to help establish Israel as a nation, So the Lord is going to raise up an intercessory prayer movement in the spirit of what Harry S. Truman did. And they will be a spiritual intercessor, and they will mobilize 100 million intercessors around the world to stand with Israel and for the salvation of Israel as we approach the generation of the Lord's return. And and then Bob Jones says, Mike, do you pray for Israel? Mike says, no, not at all. He says, do you know anything about the singers and the musicians that are going to be happening in Grandview, Missouri? He goes, I have no idea what you're talking about. And Bob Jones's famous words to Mike were, the Lord told me you would be dull. I didn't think you would be this dull in terms of hearing prophetically from the Holy Spirit. And so that's always been a joke for Mike, is not being kind of the last one to the party, kind of realizing what God's doing in the in the spirit. So that was kind of the story. And a lot has unfolded that has been in accordance with that, and including getting that particular property that used to be Harry S. Truman's property in Grandview, Missouri.
Wow. And you got that property debt-free, as I heard.
Debt-free, absolutely. And again, 50 years to the day that the Jewish family bought it from Harry S. Truman. So Harry Truman sells it to a family called the Goldberg family, and they had been there for 50 years on the property and didn't do anything with it. It's a property right along the interstate, and on the other side of the interstate, there's this large shopping center and lots happening, but on this side of the interstate, it was just sitting there. So the Jewish family is going, we want to see something happen. We want to see something that will bless the city of Grandview and that will bless young people and be and bless the economy in the area. And so they sold it at a very reasonable price. And another person comes from out of town and says, I'd like to buy it for you and be debt free from the day one. And so that's that 50 years to the day, that jubilee, the land returning to its rightful owner, the intercessory prayer movement for Israel and for its salvation.
Wow.
So that's what's happening.
Wow, that's so good. And also along with that, Bob Jones said something really weird, which was the unplugged TV sets in Asia.
Yeah, he said he saw these. He says, I've never seen anything like this, but they looked like they had unplugged TV sets. This is 1975 that he had the vision. He tells Mike in 1983 when he sees him, he says, I saw unplugged TV sets in Asia, in the rice paddies in China. And there's going to be a lot of Chinese that are connecting with this message. And then he says, not only that, they weren't just on unplugged TV sets. He said, I saw them watching the songbirds. That was the term he used for the singers. He said, I saw them watching the songbirds in Grandview, Missouri on their wristwatches. And Mike's going, 1983, what in the world? That is the craziest thing he had ever heard. And so he's like ready to kick him out of his office. He found it kind of amusing. So it was quite hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know you're the academic director of IHOPU, and years ago you were directing the IHOPU online department. And
that's right.
I was a student, and when I traveled to China in 2017, we're going to put a picture up. This picture, I went to visit my dad's old hometown. And I told my little cousin to take me, to drive me to a rice paddy. And I just thought I needed to just document this thing, watching the singers and musicians in the rice paddies. And I posted on Facebook, and you guys apparently got circulated quite a bit.
It got circulated because it's like, this is prophecy being fulfilled. It's really real. Mm.
Yeah. Absolutely. But you know what was incredible? When I went there, I was there on a 3-day trip. I mean, it was about June, July, around that time. It had not rained since the beginning of the year for like 6 or 7 months. And the ground was like getting dry. And the crops, and for some reason, I don't know why, it was illegal to water the fields from the house, from the faucets in the house. You're not allowed to do that. So the grounds were really dry. But the first day I went there, it just started raining, like thundering. And then the second day, the same. The third day, the same. And just like I was walking around that little town, little village, and then just everywhere in the spirit, I would see rain. I would just see incense rising from that region. I could just see the Lord doing that. And then I went to the rice paddies for that picture, and it was really slow. The phone was running on 2G, but we got the picture. We got the picture. But and then I left. We drove away. We left that little part of rural China, and then it rained again.
Oh, wow.
And apparently didn't rain after I left. So I just thought that was a prophetic sign, a prophetic confirmation of this prayer movement being connected to the latter rain.
Amen.
And it's connected to the gospel being preached to the ends of the earth. And this prayer movement will emerge out of these places, the ends of the earth, and it's all unto Israel.
That's right.
And it's all happening now. And it's really incredible to see. But 3 years ago, you sent me a link of a staff meeting at IHOP. And that was when this stadium event, The Send in KC, was first announced. Would you just tell us about that? What's the prophetic story behind that?
Oh, my goodness. There's so many layers to the story. Gosh, where do you start? So, part of it comes back to another prophetic man named Paul Kane. And so I want to say that was the first staff meeting, Frank, where Mike had talked about Paul Kane and his prophecies. He didn't talk about it for about 15 years for various reasons. And so when he started to talk about it is right after Paul Kane had passed away. And so he starts telling about this one particular recurring stadium vision that Paul Kane had in the years of prophetic silence. So Paul Kane was a part of the 1950s revival where they had tent meetings. And it's interesting, we just are doing a tent on the Truman property right now. That's super interesting.
Mm.
And the guy setting up the tent's name is David. David's tent, David Bradshaw from Awaken the Dawn. But anyway, so back to Paul Kane. So Mike's telling the stories about Paul Kane and the stadium revivals that he saw, where Paul Kane saw this vision, recurring vision over 100 times in his near silent years in the desert of Arizona. And he sees this vision. He says a person is on an announcer. Actually, it's a newscaster, and he says, "Ladies and gentlemen, there's no news but good news. The stadiums of the earth, not necessarily every stadium, but the stadiums of the earth are not filled with sporting events and concerts and these sorts of things. Rather, there's worship going on around the clock." And it says there's going to be singers 3 days and three nights are going to be on the platform, and they're going to be worshiping Jesus, and the presence of God is going to break in, and there's going to be creative miracles. And one of the things about these singers and musicians was that they would be nameless and faceless people. In other words, unknown people that are just filled with the glory of God, filled with a prophetic spirit and a love for Jesus, not necessarily a platform name that everybody would recognize to try to get someone to come to the gathering, but they're unknown in the one sense, but they're known to God, and they're proclaiming, they're singing without food or any change of clothing, 3 days and three nights, and the prophetic spirit rests on them. They're singing and proclaiming, and suddenly there's creative miracles. One person shouts out, "We have a resurrection over here." There's creative miracles of limbs growing out. And so again, Paul Kane saw this vision over 100 times over a several year period. And it became known as one of his main visions he would share as he would travel. And the Lord connected him with Mike, and there's a whole story there. But that vision, when Mike was reviewing this vision, had his notes all prepared, this guy named Andy Byrd, B-Y-R-D, he was a part of YWAM, but has been leading this ministry called The Send. He reaches out to Mike and says, "What would you think about doing a stadium gathering at Arrowhead Stadium, the home of the Kansas City Chiefs in Kansas City here?" And so Mike's like, "What in the world?" He had his notes all prepared. He was getting ready to talk on it that night. And Andy Byrd sends him an email out of nowhere. "What would you think about doing a stadium gathering at Arrowhead Stadium?" And so from there, just a whole bunch of things began to snowball and ripple effect. And Lou Engel became involved with it, and just different ones on key dates, just confirming it. Just so many things happened. And then the pandemic happened. And it pushed it back about two and a half years. And here we are in 2022. The date we're having it is May 14th. And that is the celebration of the anniversary of Israel becoming a nation. And so just, again, there's so many dates, storylines, little pieces that are just remarkable of this beautiful story that the Lord's putting together.
Wow. Wow. That's so good. So what was the thing that the Lord spoke about, the tents, and especially the worship tents on Truman property? And there's, I think it was it Bob Jones that spoke about a march from Truman property to Arrowhead. What was the story behind that?
Yeah, that's great. So the tents, I'm not sure of anything specific other than that David Bradshaw from Awaken the Dawn felt this burden to raise up tents. And the Lord had told them through Bob Jones many years before that they would raise up a Christian Woodstock, where people, young people, would come and worship the Lord in fields. And this is a part of that prophetic word. The part with the procession down from Arrowhead to Arrowhead Stadium. So Bob Jones had seen a vision one night. And he saw a procession of the Ark of the Lord being carried on the shoulder of 35 young adult apostles. And he said it was at the intersection of a particular intersection in Grandview, Missouri, called Blue Ridge and Grandview. And that corner is exactly 12 miles from Arrowhead Stadium. And again, most people recognize 12 as the number of government, be it 12 apostles, 12 tribes of Israel, kind of carrying that government. But Bob saw this procession, and he said there was a healing anointing that had broken out. And these young adult apostles, they carried the Ark of the Lord. The Lord was sitting on the Ark of the Covenant up on their shoulders, kind of the exalting Jesus. Apostles, apostolic ministry that exalts Jesus, not draws attention to oneself. And in the trail behind them, there were people with creative miracles and testimonies carrying their wheelchairs and crutches. The healing anointing had broken out, and they were marching to Arrowhead to celebrate the breakthrough of God. And so that procession was going to march 12 miles down there. So David Bradshaw, the same guy as did the tents, he wanted to march down to Arrowhead Stadium. So the city ended up declining that request. for a physical march in terms of walking down. It's essentially the length of a half marathon.
Right.
And you'd have to have a parade permit and things like that. So they end up are going to do a driving procession, and it will actually be live streamed. And it will be live streamed with Mike Bickle, Lou Engle, David Bradshaw, Andy Bird, others from their vehicles driving the 12 miles down to Arrowhead Stadium from the Forerunner Church building. Again, that intersection is right next to the Forerunner Church building in Grandview, Missouri.
Wow.
So really cool.
But you know, that sounds biblical. Driving, that sounds biblical because the throne of God, according to Ezekiel,
has wheels.
Had wheels. So I thought that's pretty cool. Literally, we're enthroning wherever we go. When we carry the ark, we are enthroning the Lord in the city, in the nations, and just literally everywhere. And also, the Chiefs won the Super Bowl. In 2020, and Bob Jones apparently saw that as well.
Before that was 50 years, and so this number 50 is showing up everywhere. Another number of 40 is also showing up in different places, having done 40-day fasts and Mike Bickle's 40th year of ministry from when he met Bob Jones is beginning this year. Lots of cool things happening.
And it was connected to, from what I read anyway, it's connected to the Lord raising up apostolic chiefs.
That's right. That's what Bob Jones said. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. And also Paul Kane. Well, the first send was on February the 23rd in 2019, so the day after Paul Kane was buried.
Okay.
So Paul Kane, Bob Jones, and John Paul Jackson, three prophetic men, three prophets of the Lord, were all buried on 222.
Yeah. And three prophets of the Lord that had been connected to Kansas City.
To Kansas City. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll be right back to Till Zion Sings.
Guys, can I have your attention for just a moment and ask you a very important question? Do you want to see the gospel message spread throughout the whole land of Israel through public worship? Well, guess what? My name is Nathaniel, better known as Joshua Vine, and I have three very important things to share with you. Number one, God has brought me back to the land of Israel in 2017. I've been living here ever since. Number two, God has put a passion of worship through music on my heart, and that passion now, number three, is being explored through an album that myself and my team are working on releasing in August 2023, a year and a half from now. And when we release it, we want to busk it in every single major city from north to south of Israel, every single major hotspot of that city, in youth groups and community groups, everywhere, because this is for Yeshua's glory, and we need your help. Two things, your prayers, because prayer is the backbone of any ministry, and this is a ministry for the Lord. And number two, we need your donations, your blessings. So if you'd like to bless us, if you know coworkers, family members, or friends who love Israel and the gospel and worship, then you can donate to us, addictedalbum2023@gmail.com. That's our PayPal. May you have a blessed year. God bless you guys, and thank you for your help and your donations.
Everyone, I hope you're having a great day. This is Yomar from Spain, and I know you are listening right now to Zion Sing. And this is a beautiful podcast to remind that God is faithful. God is faithful in every detail. Even when we are not faithful, He is faithful. So today, I encourage you just to trust in Him and put all your plans, all your thoughts, everything, absolutely everything in God's hands. His words say in Psalm 33, verse 4, "For the word of the Lord is upright, and all His word is done in faithfulness." You know how wonderful it is to know that He is faithful? He is faithful, and He has given us faith to believe in His faithfulness. Just encourage yourself today and say, "Lord, I know You are faithful, and You will do miracles today." Thank you so much for listening this week. Bye.
We now return to Till Zion Sings.
You know, we've been friends on Facebook for you. We've been connected for years, and you probably know my journey over the last 3 years. It also started with Paul Kane's death.
Yes.
And I remember in England, well, actually back in 2017,
yep.
he did his meeting with Ken Lowe's God in Sunderland, yep. which he told Mike Bickle about 30 years prior. He says, I will, well, Mike Bickle asked him, how long do you think you're going to live? And he says, well, I don't know the exact time of my death, but I see myself in 30 years ministering in England in an Elam context. And then I'm going to strike a match and for this revival,
wow.
an unprecedented revival, he said. And then Ken Lowe's God, not knowing about that prophecy, invited Paul Kane.
Yeah.
But then Paul Kane didn't know about Ken Lowe's connection to Elam.
Okay.
So I was part of the Elam church at that time. So wow. I went down. I just remember, Paul, it's, you know, talking about the stadium. He walked up to the stage and the whole atmosphere just shifted. And he says he prophesied this unprecedented revival, unprecedented unity in the body, unprecedented miracles and family salvation. And he says it'll be characterized by what he called the angel of his presence. And I took like a whole year to ask the Lord, what is this angel of his presence? Right. And then the Lord showed me in Isaiah 63:9, it says, in all their afflictions, speaking of Israel, in all their afflictions, he was afflicted and the angel of his presence delivered them. And and I looked at the Hebrew, the angel of his presence says Malach Panav, which said the angel of his face.
Wow.
And then the spirit of revelation just came on me. He just says the face of God is about to turn to this generation to bring Amen. Deliverance to a whole generation. And the face of God bringing deliverance, it's likened to that of the pillar of cloud by day, fire by night, and splitting the Red Sea and delivering Israel out of Egypt. And then Paul Kane, you know, being this Moses figure for the stadium vision. He died on February the 12th, which one of our mutual friends, Carrie Browning, a lot of the prophetic events that she organized in her ministry happened on February the 12th. And then Paul Kane died on February the 12th. And it was the same day Moses died on the Hebrew calendar that year.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
Yeah. What else is amazing was that exactly 12 years before that, when Paul Kane was, went through like a season of restoration, Carrie's church, they felt they heard from the Lord to invite Paul Kane was really controversial at that time, but they were the first one to invite Paul on February the 12th. So exactly 12 years before that to the day. So in that meeting, Paul Kane anointed this young man called Joshua, representing the Joshua generation. And then he just prayed this amazing prayer. And he just, and it talks about how when Moses left the tent after receiving instructions from the Lord, speaking to the Lord face to face like a man speaking to his friend. And then Joshua stayed behind in the tent of meeting, speaking of staying in his presence, staying in a place of intercession and intimacy with the Lord, and then carrying that. And it's you know, when Moses died, we just felt, wow, it's time for a Joshua generation to take the baton and to take the promised land.
Yeah.
And I know that you guys have been hearing a lot about the passing the baton to the Joshua generation.
That's right. Yeah, actually, yeah. Chris Reed is another prophetic man that's in the last year really kind of, for me, maybe other people knew about him, but just in the last year, heard about this a gentleman named Chris Reed, who's recently become the lead pastor at Morningstar Church with Rick Joyner. But Chris Reed was connected to Paul Kane for about 2 years. But operates in a similar type of word of knowledge, prophetic sort of gifting. He was here in Kansas City in September last year on our anniversary, and he prophesied about the Lord is saying you're moving into your 40th year, and it is it's about to transitioning to a next generation. To crossing over and the entrance into the promises. And so that's really been a theme that the Lord's been speaking here lately, as you said, and just getting ready a next generation and helping. I mean, there's a the other paradigm was Solomon. So mm-hmm. David was passing the baton on to his son Solomon, and Solomon was continuing the vision that David had laid hold of for the raising up of the temple, but David didn't enter into it. He prepared the way, and then his physical son ended up walking into it, and his cry was, "Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom," because there's about to be a weight of responsibility rest on this generation. And that's really what I'm sensing, what a number of people are sensing from the Lord, is to begin to cry out for a spirit of wisdom, to be able to lead and guide and have divine understanding of the ways of God. It says of Moses that he knew the ways of God, not just God's deeds, his power. He knew what God was like. He knew his heart. He knew why he did the things that he did. And I believe that's really one of the key things the Lord's inviting next generation leaders into, is really understanding the heart and the ways of God from the Word of God and by the Spirit. So, we're feeling
and
that.
It started with Joshua staying in the tent and beholding his beauty and being with the Lord and never leaving the tent.
That's right.
Never leaving the tent. Do you know, I remember in this tent, meeting in Israel in 2019, because this girl in Israel had this vision of the fire falling in the desert and spreading all across Israel, all across the nations. And then the Lord told her to have this meeting called Face to Face, gathering called Face to Face. And I just remember, I just released that. I just led this prayer set for like 5 hours. It was meant to be a 2-hour set, but it went on for 5 hours. And then somebody shared a word about Joshua generation, because they're hearing all about Joshua generations over there. Yes. And then I shared about the second half of that verse about Joshua staying in the tent. And then the end of that set, everybody was leaving, and then I was about to leave, and then the Lord just pushed me on the floor. He says, "You just shared about staying in the tent, staying in the presence, and now you're going to leave. No, you're staying right here." So I stayed for another, 20 minutes or so until the Spirit was lifted. But that is the thing. And I'm just thinking, the Joshua generation, they carry the ark across the Jordan, right? It's an emphasis about carrying the presence. Wow. And this procession that you guys are doing, that Bob Jones saw was about carrying the ark. Right. So it's all like matching together.
And the apostolic being the authority of the Lord resting on individuals, and the word apostolos in the Greek refers to being sent. And that's the name of the event at Arrowhead Stadium, the point of the arrow for another wave of sending, or a release of apostolic authority. Now, apostolic is a word that gets used in many ways, but the Lord's releasing that which is authentic and that which is born of the Spirit to help prepare the way and to help change the understanding and expression of Christianity. It's going to happen not only in Kansas City, but in cities all around the world. This is by no means Kansas City-centric. It really is about Israel, and the Lord's doing it, speaking by his Spirit. I used to be really skeptical of the prophetic, in the sense that like anybody could say, "I heard from God," and some people say that and they didn't. Some people think they did, but they didn't. Other people did, but you just never know. And so, but that's what I'm excited about is that the Holy Spirit really is speaking. And the body of Christ, as we get closer to Christ Jesus himself, the head, in intimacy, rooted in the Scripture, is going to be able to hear more and more clearly. And the Spirit's not in conflict with himself. And he's unifying his body. He's beginning to say the same or similar things in different parts of the body. And there's beginning to movements flowing together in unity that never would have wanted to be in the same meeting previously, you know? And so it's beautiful to see the body of Christ hearing the same or similar things and flowing together in cooperation. And it just tells me John 17 is really coming forth, that the body of Christ is going to be one as the Father and the Son are one, and that Jesus is going to receive great glory through it and flow together.
Wow. Wow. So this Saturday will be the send in Arrowhead Stadium. So what are we believing for? What are we believing that the Lord will do?
Yeah, absolutely. So the send itself is led by Andy Bird and a team of about seven different collaborative ministries, including Michael Koulianos, Lou Engel, one from Brazil, Dunamis Ministries with Teo Hayashi, Daniel Kalenda, who is the successor to Reinhard Bonnke, with those. So those ministries are coming together. The statement over the conference is, we're declaring war on inaction. And so the vision that's being presented is the Great Commission is going to become a great completion, but it's going to take the body of Christ rising up and being mobilized and sent forth into the highways and byways. So this word Lou Engel's carried for years, ekbalo. And you can just picture Lou Engel, Lord of the harvest, ekbalo laborers, send forth laborers. Matthew 9, the latter part of Matthew 9 talks about pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. And a lot of what's happening is this convergence of prayer and missions for the completion of the Great Commission. But being more clear, the Great Commission is not just about the end of the earth receiving the gospel, but it's about the ends of the earth receiving the gospel of the kingdom, which is the power of the spirit dimension, and with revelation of God's heart for Israel. And so the nations of the earth will be entering into not only salvation and singing and worship and prayer, but they're going to be focused on God's purposes for the salvation of Israel. And so we're believing for 100 million intercessors. That's one little part of it. We're believing for Israel, 1 million intercessors for the missions movement. And then the send itself, that's more on the IHOP side. For the send itself, they're believing for the mobilization of missions. And I think they have a number like 250,000 missionaries to go forth to the nations of the earth. And then mobilization on campuses, high schools, college campuses, God's heart for adoption, families opening up and really caring for babies and that kind of thing. So the send is mobilizing that kind of thing.
Yeah, that is so good. So everything is actually unto the salvation of Israel.
That's the end game. We'll say yes to that day one. And there's a journey that the Lord's going to take the body of Christ on to really catch hold of that.
And it'll be interesting to see what the Lord will do to unite the whole body of Christ to this, because, I mean, he can't violate our free will, right? So I wonder how he's going to orchestrate all this to make that happen. We know that he will. Well, for Israel, we know that he will orchestrate.
Yeah, one of the key verses that many people pray is Ephesians 1, asking God to release the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, his heart, his purposes, these kinds of things. It's going to take night and day prayer for the spirit of revelation for people to really grasp God's heart. And so when I think about getting understanding of Israel, yes, part of it is talking about God's heart for Israel and unpacking the scriptures, that kind of thing, but really actually praying for people to get it. Like, it takes revelation. Before I had revelation turned on for me, it was like, oh, the Israel thing again, that's boring. Or, I don't get it, or it's kind of annoying. Why do they keep talking about this and waving that flag? It's kind of annoying, blowing the shofar. So I got bugged by it, but then the lights went on one day and I go, oh my goodness, God's not done with Israel. And they've been through so many years. It was when the Holocaust became real to me. And I just bawled my eyes out for like hours. I just couldn't stop crying because I'd never felt God's heart for the Jewish people. And that's when it just began. And then I began to understand the scriptures after that. And so that spirit of wisdom and revelation, when that touches, I think a lot of it's going to be caught before it's understood in the spirit, like in the heart. The anointing that's coming, I'm just going to declare this. The anointing of the Holy Spirit that's coming is going to be stronger than the hype that has preceded it. People have talked about, there's coming an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. There's coming an end time outpouring. And like, yay, is it at this meeting? No, that meeting was kind of disappointing. It was less than what I was hoping for. And people have felt that a lot. I've felt that. I believe the anointing of the Holy Spirit is going to be poured out in such a degree that it's going to be stronger than the hype and the talk that has preceded it. And it's going to be received in the emotional realm. You know how warfare exists? Sometimes you feel oppression before you understand what the lies are that are coming against you.
Right.
I go, oh, there, I got it. But you feel really, really negative. I believe the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, picture a stadium being filled. It's not just creative miracles. It's suddenly getting God's heart before they even know the biblical basis for things, because the Holy Spirit's putting those impressions. They're beginning to weep and groan and, oh my goodness. And then God says, and then the scriptures become real. And the Holy Spirit's going to release that impartation in mass and invite people into carrying his heart and his burden for Israel. It's going to be real. It's substance. We really want authenticity and substance, and the Lord's going to do it. It's really going to happen.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen, amen.
So good. So good. So good. So lastly, the send. How can people join in? How can people participate, and how can we pray?
Yes, absolutely. So number one, on Saturday, the gathering starts at 10 a.m. Kansas City Central time zone in the U.S. And it goes till 10 p.m. Central. So 12-hour day. It's going to be times of worship, some speaking, short segments of speaking, and then we're going to pray, gathering in small groups and prayer for specific topics. And so the day will be segmented on different topics, like some of the ones, campuses, universities, unreached people groups, and those kinds of things. And so you can join on the web stream. Just go to thesend.org, and there's a place that says register. And right below the in-person ticket, there's the ability to sign up for the live web stream. So you can sign up for the live web stream, join with it live, and they'll be on a platform, I think, where they'll have the ability to interact with in chat and different things like that with people around the world. I'm not personally involved with that, but that's my understanding of what's going to be happening. And then long term,
so from 10 a.m. to from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m.
That's right.
Kansas City Central Time.
That's right.
So that will be 4 p.m. to 4 a.m. in the UK and 5 p.m. to 5 a.m. in Europe.
Just so
we know. And we'll put a link on the screen for people to go and register as well. But yes, continue long term.
Yeah, long term. They're trying to mobilize people. And so they're going to do other send gatherings, and they're going to be working with different ministries for some training, and for if you want to say, I want to adopt my campus, you can actually opt in and join some of those different movements and different things that are happening during that time.
All right. So, yeah, and there's going to be, as far as I know anyway, there's going to be another send in Norway.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I have heard about that. Yes.
I hope I can make it. I couldn't make it to this one because, you know, the vaccine stuff.
Sure.
But hopefully the next one will be good. Well, Kyle Mytholer, thank you so much for coming on the show.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me, Frank. Absolutely.
All right. Well, there you have it, guys. This Saturday, the 14th, in Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City, Missouri, 100 million intercessors for Israel, 1 million intercessors for the missions movement, and 250,000 people mobilized for the Great Commission to take the gospel to the ends of the earth, unto the salvation of Israel. Once again, you can register online at thesend.org and click the register button. You can also watch the tent meetings on the Truman property all week this week. Just search Awaken the Dawn on YouTube and Facebook, or IHOPKC or Mike Bickle's official Facebook page, and tune in. Well, that's it for this episode, guys. Till next time, and till Zion sings.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's show. We pray you were blessed, encouraged, and strengthened. For more information on our mission, visit our website, tillzionsings.com. For daily content, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Till Zion Sings. And lastly, for exclusive bonus content and early access to episodes, become a supporting member of the show at patreon.com/tillzionsings.